Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. Here's a quick announcement. Our October heart-centered and passion-driven Inspirations for Better Living digital magazine designed to help moms build a better future for themselves, their families, and loved ones is currently available at www.inspirationsforbetterliving.com. This month's theme is Autumn of Mindfulness. The magazine offers inspirational stories from our dedicated team of experts to help you navigate your current situation with confidence in your motherhood journey as the COO, if not the CEO, of your family. So please go to www.inspirationsforbetterliving.com and treat yourself to some engaging, entertaining, and enlightening stories. You deserve it. As far as our radio show for today, my guest for this morning is Margaret Donahue. Margaret, who prefers to be called Peg, is a highly skilled business and personal consultant, teacher, and coach specializing in feng shui, clearing energies and blockages, and refocusing clients to live authentic, prosperous lives. Peg holds an MBA from Boston University and a BA from Georgetown University. She taught and certified feng shui practitioners for 7 years at her school, the New England Center for Feng Shui and Intuitive Arts, in addition to an 8-year collaboration with Karen Kelly of Living Energy Works. Peck and her current collaborative partner, Madeline Gerwich, who is an internationally recognized certified astrologer specializing in business and economic astrology with over 30-plus years of astrological experience, combined their talent to produce the award-winning book, Money is an Energy Game. It is a 300-page encyclopedia of money attraction tools. Unfortunately, Madeline is not able to join us this morning, but Peg and I will be having a wonderful conversation about her remarkable life's journey, her successful collaboration with Madeline, and how you can enhance or recalibrate your ability to increase prosperity. Good morning, Peg. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Johnny. I'm doing very well. How are you today?
Wonderful. I am so excited to talk to you about the book. It is a pleasure to have you with me. Money is an Endgame is a very compelling and insightful read. The book is beautifully designed and laid out. And I have to say, it is a perfect timing for those of us who is in need of a roadmap to rebuilding our finances. So congratulations to Madeline and you.
Well, thank you, Johnny. It was really fun putting it together. And Madeline and I put this book together over a 7-year process. Yes, because we each run our own businesses and we have been working on this as a collaboration. And we decided, first when we started it, we felt we were ahead of our time with it. And then it was like, okay, we need to hurry this up and get it done because people really need to know this stuff and have this information. So we got it done.
The interesting part about what you ladies have put together, this beautifully designed book, it's timeless. The principles in it is just fascinating, and I love it. And there are a lot of ancient recipes and modern tweak to the modern lifestyle that we have. And yes, it's real life, real situation, is the application of knowledge all around us.
Yes, and that was our intention with this. In fact, one of our readers told me, gosh, you should have called this Life is an Energy Game, because that's really what it's all about. It's really about, you know, living your life, and it's
right,
much more than money. Yeah,
right.
So money's so a big aspect, yeah.
Wonderful. Let us start by getting to know you a little bit better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, sure. Well, I am the sixth of 9 children. So I grew up in a middle-class family in New England. I was as a 6 of 9, I was the organizer, the mediator, the link really between our family members. My dad worked oftentimes 3 jobs, and my mom also worked really, you're feeding 11 people. that's a lot of people to feed and to, keep a whole household together. We all worked. We were all encouraged to work from a young age. I had a paper route at a young age. I babysat. We knew that, our parents didn't have money to send us off to college, but we were all encouraged to go to college. Mm-hmm. So I began saving, from an early age to do that. So, we grew up with the idea that you have to work hard, you know, to earn your money and to save your money, and that, you know, work is really, really important. So I had always worked. I worked my way through college. I nearly quit at one point because it was overwhelming. I wasn't sure how I was going to pay for it. I went to, turns out, an expensive school. And and when I was going to quit, I was actually working in the financial aid office. And it's an interesting story how I came to work in the financial aid office. After my freshman year and I got my financial aid package for sophomore year, I was so upset over it that, you know, I couldn't figure out how to make ends meet. It was really frustrating. So I called them up. And I just really, you know, talked to them about it and said, you know, this is not going to work, and we need to do something different. And I tell you, by the time I got off the phone, I had a job working in the financial aid office. They offered it to me on the phone. And I kept that job for 3 years until I graduated from college. So I got to know the in and outside of financial aid, of how it all worked. But also, you know, I was going to leave school because it was so frustrating. Trying to do my studies and work my jobs and keep it all together. And when I told my boss in financial aid that I was leaving, this was sophomore year, she literally marched me up to the dean's office and said, "No, you're not. We're going to figure this out." And on the way up, I just heard a little voice in my head and just said, "Just be quiet. And this is how things happen. Just watch." And sure enough, you know, it was like magic. You know, they just made things happen. They rearranged some loans, gave me some scholarship money. It's like, wow, this is how things happen. And because I had told myself, too, if they make it work, then of course I'll return. And then when I, a few weeks later, I got a call from somebody that I had been doing babysitting with, and they were looking for a nanny, you know, for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a nanny job, and that was, and they had 4 children at the time. They had a 5th on the way, so I was responsible for 5 children under the age of 6 when I was doing it, and it was when I was nannying and also doing my studies, and I earned, you know, got on the dean's list that year. And I was like, wow, this is how stuff happens. And I also thought, how did my mother ever do this? How did she ever raise 9 children? It's a lot of work, but there was also a lot of synchronicity there. You know, things just happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch and allow and trust and believe that, okay, things are going to work out, they do. And what I've learned in my later years is it's about setting an intention and being clear about what you want. And you have to take inspired action. You just can't sit around and expect things, you know, to happen. You have to help yourself out. But you help yourself out in really good and really positive ways. And that's a lot of what this book is about.
Wonderful. How did your transformational spiritual journey in feng shui begin?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, after I graduated from college, I graduated with a degree in sociology. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I started looking around for work. And I was hired into a novel company at the time. This was in the 1970s, so some of your listeners may not have been born then. And I got into this field called direct marketing or database marketing. And you know what? It turns out it was the precursor of all, you know, the social media world. It was about customer relationship marketing. So I worked for that company for 21 years. And they also sent me to business school. I earned my MBA along the way. I asked them to pay for it, and you know what? They did. And so it's amazing how things happen. Anyways, I left that job in early 2000, or just at the beginning of 2000. I was ready to take a break. And after being in this company for 21 years, I had joined when it was small. And there were 4 original founders that were there. And over the years, the company was bought and sold. And I had told myself, okay, when the last founder leaves, that's probably my time too. And you know what? That's exactly how it happened. So right about the time the last founder was leaving, you know, I saw an opening. And I said, hey, just, you know, let me out of here. And so I left my job. I was going to take 6 months off and just get another job. and I took the 6 months off. But you know what? It's been over 21 years again since I never went back to the corporate world. I just realized after I was out that my heart wasn't in it anymore, that I needed and wanted to do something else. So I fell into feng shui. I had been learning about it prior to leaving the corporate world, and I was just fascinated with it. So when I had time, and during this time also, my husband was a full-time dad. So I think that's an important part of this journey, because I left on a leap of faith and a leap of trust that I knew we would be okay. I was a breadwinner. And that we would still be fine. And during this time, I just really delved into metaphysics. And, oh, my gosh, I could not learn it and read about it and study it faster. It was just one book or one class led me to another and to another and to another. So along the way, I did 3 professional feng shui programs. I did some prosperity classes, manifestation classes, energy classes, intuition classes. I learned about healthy homes and healthy buildings. So it was all an inner and outer exercise. I just could not learn fast enough. So I just read and I studied and I observed and I practiced. And so it's been a great journey. I'm still on it. It's not over. Yeah, so for your listeners who might not be aware of it, feng shui, it's the art and science of arranging your environment to enhance your life. So it's all about really nature and your environment, and the premise is that your space, say your home, your work, your office, wherever you are, it is a mirror image of yourself. And it's all about the energy, and that's what this book is about. It's about energy and paying attention to energy, noticing your energy, noticing the energy of your environment, noticing the energy of the people in your life and what's going on, and really connecting with that energy. And that's, you know, with this transformational, spiritual journey, it's all about the energy, studying the energy and tuning into the energy and being in the energy and being aware of the energies that you're in.
Very interesting. Feng shui originally originated from the East.
Yes,
what
it did.
Triggered you to sort of blend that into the Western culture? I would think that would be difficult.
Well, I had been hearing, tidbits about feng shui, and, I was curious about it. So I read about it, and I said I started learning it when I still had my corporate job. And I started off learning the Western version, so the version with the Bagua. And the Western version happens to be very, very spiritual. And then I was also curious about the Eastern version, because I would read and I would hear that, there were like 2 camps, and each camp felt that their process was the real one, or one was better than the other. And I'm somebody that I need to know my topics inside and out. And if I'm going to put my stake into something, a stake in the ground, I need to know that topic. And so I'm very diligent in that regard. So one day, I took a day off work, and I took all my feng shui books, and I said, I am going to figure this out. And I took my floor plan, and I just started making notes from all the books, about the Eastern version as well as the Western version, and I just overlaid all the information. And then I sat back and said, oh, my gosh, it's really all the same. And so I earned 3 feng shui certificates along the way. One of them was a 2-year program with Jill Hale about the Lopan, the Chinese system of the flying star system, the 8 mansion system, and really learning that inside and out. And it's a more mathematical system, but it's the energy, and math is all energy, the energy behind the numbers. And so some people gravitate to that. Some people, gravitate away from that, and they just want to, cut to the chase. But both systems really work. I find that the Eastern system is a way to cut to the heart of the matter really fast. And the Western system is more spiritual in nature. And so they both work. And when I'm working with clients, I work with both systems. I often speak to them and converse to them from the Western perspective, but meanwhile, I'm also running the numbers on the Flying Star system and taking a look at their house that way and cutting to the chase and seeing if there is an additional perspective that I can bring and help them to cut to the heart of the information that will in transforming their life or meeting their goals.
That's wonderful. How did you and Madeline initially connect and ended up forming this wonderful collaborative team?
Well, it turns out that Madeline and I met while we were both taking prosperity training classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where our paths crossed initially, and this was in the early 2000s. And so as we were learning this, Madeline also has an astrology business, and it turned out she was looking for a feng shui practitioner. And so somebody brought it to my attention. I didn't see it at first. And what I have learned in my own life is I need to typically see things three times. You know, it might, come to you and you'll take note, but maybe not, or I'll take note or might not even register. And then the second time, by the third time, it's like, oh my gosh, I need to pay attention. So I think that's how it happened with Madeline. It had come, to my attention probably three different ways. And so I connected with her and I said, hey, you're looking for a feng shui practitioner. And we have been collaborating ever since. So it's been a great collaboration. And what we did early on is after we had finished our prosperity training, we put together a program. We taught a program together called 8 Keys to the Ultimately Prosperous Business. And we did this as a teleclass program.
Mm-hmm.
So long before, podcasts were out there and all that. And then it was our students that asked for a class on language and words and stories we tell. So then we put together another program called The Art of Conscious Language. And then we took it a notch further, and we put together a 6-week program called Take an Energy Inventory for Prosperity. And then we decided we wanted to take all of this, kick it up a notch, and really bring it to a wider audience, and that's where we got the idea to put it all together in a book. So that's how Money is an Energy Game came about. It was our collaboration, and it was these three programs and a desire to make it available to anyone who wants to learn more about this topic and integrate it into their own lives to make a big difference in their own lives, to get on a path that's maybe easier than one they've been on, just by tapping into the tips, tools, and techniques. In this book, we have over 100 tips, tools, and techniques, so we feel that there's something out there for everybody.
It's beautiful. I love the book. It's got so much information on it, and it's very well organized. You've got the action items, you've got the words of wisdom, you've got example sections, and a bunch of tips that's for business and personal. So it's not something that one would just take, well, let me take a couple hours to read it. I think it takes more than that.
That's right. There's a bit there. Somebody might want to sit down and read it from start to finish, or you might just, flip through it and see what page it opens to, or read the table of contents, and if there's a particular topic or a subject that catches you, dip into that one first. But there's an index at the back where we compiled all the tips, tools, and techniques. And so you can, just scan through those. And depending on where you are in your life or what's up for you, what you want to shift, you can tap into the book that way.
So true. That's true. By the way, you're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitches Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, Podchaser, Listen Notes, and Hophopper. I'm Johnny Tan, your host. Here's a quick reminder to treat yourself to the October edition of our heart-centered and passion-driven Inspirations for Better Living digital magazine at www.inspirationsforbetterliving.com. My guest for this morning is Margaret Peck Donahue. Peck is a highly skilled business and personal consultant, teacher, and coach specializing in feng shui, clearing energies and blockages, and refocusing clients to live authentic, prosperous lives. Beck and her collaborative partner, Madeline Gerwich, who is an internationally recognized certified astrologer specializing in business and economic astrology with over 30 years of astrological experience, combined their talents to produce the award-winning book, Money is an Energy Game. It is a 300-page encyclopedia of money attraction tools. Peg and I are having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey, her successful collaboration with Madeline, and how you can enhance or recalibrate your ability to increase prosperity. So, Peg, what is prosperity?
Oh, that's another great question. So prosperity is all about well-being. It is knowing that all your needs and your true desires, that they're easily met when you need them or when you want them. So it's about the essence of what it is you want. It's having all your basic resources, you having your health, it's about your family, your friends, your community, having meaning and purpose in your life, having basics or home, a roof over your head. It's living a life in joy. And so it's all of these things combined. So prosperity is much more than money. It really is.
That's interesting, though, because a lot of people equate wealth to prosperity. And what you're saying is that you can be wealthy, but not necessarily prosperous.
And you can be prosperous and not necessarily wealthy. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So money is only one aspect of this. And it's really about living a healthy and joyful life. It's about having rich and deep relationships. It's about having meaning and purpose in your life, jumping out of bed in the morning and being excited to be alive and, dive into your day. It's about living a life in joy. It is. And then when you're doing all this, the means to make it happen, come into your life. And it's so much easier than, pushing and struggling. See, struggle is what I would look at as a downward spiral. It's, it's a hardship and the strife versus if you are thing, that the resources, no matter what they are, that they will come to you and they'll come to you when you need them
mm-hmm.
or when you want them, then that's an upward spiral. And so things always don't show up the way you expect. So you have to be ready for things to show up in unexpected ways, ways that you don't even anticipate. And that's part of the fun and the magic with all of this, is they'll show up in ways that are even better than you anticipated.
That's wonderful. Can you share with us the various topics covered in this wonderful encyclopedia?
Oh, I would be happy to. So the book is organized into three parts. So the first part is what we call 8 Keys to Your Prosperity. And the second part is about the art of prosperous language. It's about your words and the stories you tell. And part 3 is about the energy inventory. So the 8 Keys to Your Prosperity is first to cultivate a positive money vibe. And so this is where, in this chapter, we have a commitment to prosperity. So I share my own contract, and we put a sample contract in. So we ask everybody to write a contract to yourself, declare that you want to be prosperous and get on the bandwagon. Next, we have a chapter about releasing blockages to success. And so in this chapter, we talk about beliefs. So recognizing beliefs, like I grew up with the belief that you have to work hard, to be prosperous, to be successful, to earn your way. And then I realized, maybe you don't have to, work hard all the time. Maybe it can be, easier. And when I realized that, I figured out ways to make my life easier. 2, I also include a release process. I do a service called Emotional Freedom and Tapping and Healing. It's a tapping modality. So I recorded a 45-minute session in the book. When you get the book, you have a link to this online so that you can do a tapping release program to help you release common blockages to success. So we have that out there. So it's like getting the book for free because you get this release with it. And then we talk about quantum physics and the effects of subtle energy at work. And this is about what you focus on. Whatever you focus on expands, and what you resist persists. So again, it's all about the energy and where's your focus and where's your energy going. Then we move on to creating desired results, bringing yourself into alignment with what you want, creating with trust, so learning to trust, because this is an essential part of collaboration and cooperation. Good timing. Madeline wrote a chapter all about good timing as an astrologer. Good timing has been it's what she does. And I have followed astrology since I was a kid. It's all about the patterns. Just like feng shui is about the patterns in your space, astrology is about the patterns in the heavens. And it is amazing. So we talk about common patterns and how to succeed with good timing. I have a chapter in there about feng shui, and so this is about optimizing your office for success and prosperity. And then we also included a chapter on building your wealth. So ways and patterns to have an ongoing revenue stream for yourself. Part two, as I said, is the art, prosperous language. So we talk about cliches, many cliches like, oh, money doesn't grow on trees, so we can recognize our patterns. And you might recognize, the beliefs that you grew up with, just by the stories, that are there. And we, the next chapter is about the power of words. And we put information in here about really recognizing your own words, your own language, and changing it over so that it is, if it's negative, so that it is positive and uplifting language. And this is not about ignoring or denying, what your experiences are, but it's about putting a positive vibration on them. Wouldn't it be lovely if this or something even better happened? So it's putting your focus on the way you want things to be and pulling them away from or out of the doldrums or the dumps, spiral down. Like I often say, whoever decided that the news is all the bad stuff? How did that come about when there's so much good news out there? And for many years, I've been paying attention to the Good News Network. So I don't know if you and your listeners are aware of this, but there's a woman out there that has been putting together good news every day, and now it's available. It has been available on the web for many, many years. It's called the Good News Network, and you can subscribe to it and just get a jolt of good news in your box every morning. And it's really, really amazing and heartwarming stories. So it's these types of stories that are helped to lift us up, as humanity, and to do more and more good work out there. And so the third part of the book is, we call it Take an Energy Inventory for Prosperity. So this is a six-week program where each week you focus on a different aspect of energy. One week is about sleep. Another week it's about food and nutrition, exercise and movement, your emotions and feelings, your thoughts and mental capacity, as well as spiritual awareness. So each week, all you're doing is using the checklists and worksheets that we provide, and you're just noting your patterns. So you could do this in any order. You could do it over six straight weeks. You could do it one a month. It doesn't matter. You could pick one that you think is your most troubling area and work with that one. And all we ask you to do is to note your patterns and then link them to prosperity and how that is unfolding in your life. And so the worksheets are a great guide for that. And then we wrap all this up with what we call the game. Because the whole point of this is to make this game fun. So with the game, you get to do it your way, anyway. You can play the game by yourself. You can get some partners. You can play it with your family. But the whole point of it is to put the principles and tools into action and to notice the results that you're receiving or that you're getting, and then to keep it going. Yeah, so it's really a, what I would say is a guide for life. It really is. This is the beginning, and I'm hearing amazing things from people that are saying, this is really shifting. I was at my post office last week, and the postmistress pulled me aside when everybody had left, and she said, you know, I just want to tell you, because of your book, I am in such a good place right now, and I have been for a couple of months. I read it from cover to cover, and now I'm going through it again. I have it all marked. I'm practicing different things, and what a difference it is making. And what we say, what I often say, is the work is always on oneself. So, you know, many people are out there, and they complain about what's going on or complain about other people. But the objective of all this is to turn it back on yourself. The work is always on yourself. It's not about the other people. It's about your relationship to them, and it's about your perspective of what's going on in your life. That's where the real shifts come from, when you can recognize that you're really in charge of yourself, and you're in charge of your own life, and you're in charge of your feelings and your thoughts. Nobody can do that for you. And each of us has that ability to shift.
That's true. Very, very true. Well, there's nothing wrong by expressing your frustration in a way, I would say. But then in the end,
nothing wrong at all.
Right. And so that's good in so many ways because you're clearing your own memory banks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So express your frustration and then focus on, okay, now what do I want? And then focus on what you really want as a result of that. What is it that you want to be different? And as you are identifying and indicating and specify what it is you want to be different, put it in a positive framework. So get
Very
rid
true.
Of the don'ts and the nots and the can'ts and the shouldn'ts and put the, and reframe those. So we provide some examples and ways to reframe things, you know, in the book as well.
Can you give us some tips on how we can positively create the money vibes within us as a kickoff?
Oh, sure. So with a money vibe, is first of all, it is it's about being positive and being uplifting. And so what, the first thing I would recommend is to focus on what it is you want. Do you want a particular dollar amount, say, in your bank account or available to you? Do you want to be able just to, you know, pay your bills with ease? Is it do you need money for a particular event in your life, so to speak? So you have to set your intention. Set your intention. And then you do need to take inspired action. So this is positive action. And then you have to get out of your own way and allow really the universe, you know, to come in and help you out. So, for example, one thing when, you know, with my own business, oftentimes I'll just put it out there, you know, okay, I want to have X dollars amount in my bank account on an ongoing basis. And then I'll, you know, get going on cultivating new business or doing new activities. Meditation actually is another aspect of this, is getting out of my own way, is sitting down and visualizing that end result. So visualizing actually my bank account filling up, you know, doing, working with great clients, you know, having it be easy, just, you know, the essence of all of that. And then what I have noticed with me is usually within a 2-week period, things will start happening. I might get more calls or referrals will come in, because that's how most of my business comes in anyways. It comes in through referrals. And, you know, those will pick up and it's like, wow, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. And then when I need it to slow down, you know, I pull back in and, you know, it comes to, you know, a halt, so to speak, if I need space to do more things. When I'm feeling that I'm my days are too packed, I will do a meditation and visualize time expanding to get done everything. Because one of the phenomena about this is when you get on a roll and things are happening, and then if they're happening too fast, the risk is you say no and you start pushing things away. You know, with, oh my gosh, I'm too busy. I can't handle this. It's too much. Take it away. Then it slows down. It comes to a halt. So it's almost like a train wreck at that point. You speed it up, then you slow it down. You speed it up, you slow it down. And I think it's much better to have a steady stream, you know, a steady flow. So it depends on what it is that you would like, or what it is, you know, the speed at which you want these things to happen. They can happen really fast. But, you know, I would say most people, it's a mixed bag. It is, you know, they'll put out that they want something, and then they will push it away. They'll push it away by engaging in gossip, negative gossip. They'll, you know, might be out there agreeing with stories or the news or adding to it. Oh, yeah. You know, that happened to me too. Well, all those things, you know, it's a spiral down. It's the way you push things away, you know, prosperity away from you. So it's recognizing your own patterns. Another way to, you know, to do this is observe successful people. Notice what they do and emulate the positive things and let go of the negative things. You know, you can observe others, but the work is always on yourself. It's always on oneself.
That's true. Very true. Do you think good timing is just plain luck?
Or oh,
is it
not at all.
No such thing as luck.
No. Luck is good fortune, and good fortune is, to me, it's synchronicity, and there is an amazing amount of synchronicity in the world. But good timing is synchronicity has a lot to do with it, but it's all about the patterns that are out there in the skies and the stars with the planets. That this stuff is real, and I'll tell you, I have followed this since long before I met Madeline. Since I was a child, I knew that there was something to astrology. I followed it when I was in business, again, long before, you know, I met Madeline. And I knew about this period called, a cycle called void moons, void, of course, moons. And this is when the moon is moving around, and every, say, 2 to 3 days, it pauses and it needs a little space. And this Madeline has called this in her book a time out. It's a pause. It's a it's a time to pull back and not take important action. And so I have noticed over the years that when contracts, in particular, when they were signed, say during a timeout, during a void, of course, moon, or they were signed during another pattern called the Mercury retrograde pattern, and we're in that pattern right now, that those were the clients that were the most difficult to service and the most difficult to administer. And in my role within the company, I often was tasked with cleaning up these relationships. and I knew that. And one time it was the most important relationship in the company, and I knew that that contract had been signed during an unfavorable period. So I cleaned up the account and the service. We actually wrote a new contract, and it got signed during a more favorable period. And so the patterns are out there. They really are, and that's what astrology is about, and that's also what feng shui is about, is notice the patterns. Notice the patterns. And so it is not just good luck. You know, good luck can enter into a lot of our lives, but when you are working with good timing, you're also going to have a lot of good fortune. Things, you know, more and more things will go your way. And so it's not that you'll never have a problem, but what I find is that the obstacles, you'll have fewer obstacles, and they're easier to resolve. And it's a much easier, much better way to live. I know my own family, so many siblings over the years have told me, you know, you have it so easy. You just don't know what it's like. and I would sit back and think, well, not really. I do know what it's like. I just know that you're not on the same bandwagon that I'm on. And so you're going to have you know, more of those experiences that are about difficulty, belief system. Mm-hmm. And my belief system is different. My belief system is that life can be easier, so that, and it can be joyful and you can be happy. And things will fall into place. So that's what more of my life is about and my experience. So, you know, it's amazing. My mother used to say, I don't know how all you kids, you know, you've all grown up with different lives, but you've all came from the same family. I don't know how that happened. And I've always said that our families are like a microcosm of the world, that everything happens within a family. So you see it. So I have looked at my family, and I have seen it as like a laboratory. It's where you get to play with all these concepts and experiment with them and try them out and see how, you know, different people are living their lives. And so even though we all grew up with the same parents, our lives have been very different.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who have beliefs that are similar to mine, their lives have been easier. And the ones who believe that life is a struggle and you have to work really hard and it doesn't come so easy, that's been their life. And so this is why we always take it back to beliefs, is what do you believe?
Right.
What do you believe? What do you want to believe? And if you're believing things, you know, that life is hard and life has to be a struggle and you want to change, you can change. And, you know, one of the things we talk about in the book a lot, and I use this every day, is gratitude. Gratitude is so important, and it is such a gift. Giving thanks for all the good things in your life, giving thanks for the lessons, so you can give thanks for the struggle, but then let it go. Let that struggle go. Stories, negative stories, get in the habit of not telling them any more than 3 times. You can tell it again and tell it again, and then let it go. Because the more times you tell, you know, any story, you're giving it more power and more energy. So stop giving energy and power to the things that you don't want to have happen or the things that you don't want to repeat in your life. Pull back from that and replace it with intentions and stories and repetition of what you want more of. I mean, that right there is huge.
Right.
To focus on what it is you want more of and refrain from putting a lot of energy into what you don't want to have happen. Just pull back from it.
So true. Very true. You're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, Podchaser, Listen Notes, and Hophopper. Here's a quick reminder to treat yourself to our October edition of our heart-centered and passion-driven Inspirations for Better Living digital magazine at www.inspirationsforbetterliving.com. My guest for this morning is Margaret Peg Donahue. Peg is a highly skilled business and personal consultant, teacher, and coach specializing in feng shui, clearing energies and blockages, and refocusing clients to live authentic, prosperous life. Peck and her collaborative partner, Madeline Gowich, who is an internationally recognized certified astrologer specializing in business and economic astrology with over 30-plus years of astrological experience, combined their talent to produce the award-winning book, Money is an Energy Game. It is a 300-page encyclopedia of money attraction tools. Peck and I having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey, her successful collaboration with Madeline, and how you can enhance and recalibrate your ability to increase prosperity. I'm your host, Johnny Tan. Peg, how can someone quickly optimize their office and workspace to experience success and sustain a prosperous attitude?
Oh, that's a great question, Johnny. So as I said, feng shui is about the energy of your space. So begin at the entrance. Have a clear and open entrance to your office. So begin with the door. Sometimes doors are stuck, doors are broken, and, you know, they squeak. You know, have a good functional door. And then put your desk in what we call a command position. So a command position is one where you can see the door, but you're not sitting directly in front of the door, so the energy is not, you know, coming in as an onslaught to you. You have support from behind, so preferably a solid wall, or also you could sit on the diagonal, so you may have the benefit of two walls behind you. And you have space in front. So you have the larger part of the room in front of you. So that's a command position. And we recommend that you place yourself in the command position for your office, you know, at your desk. Also, that's the optimal position for your bed. So you can see the door, but not in front of the door. You have a solid wall behind you and open space of the room in front. Thirdly, to minimize clutter. So you want to have a place for everything. And clutter is anything that you don't use and you don't love. So let go of your clutter. And you know what? We all have it. And particularly in offices, even in this digital age, you still may have a lot of paper around. So minimize, you know, if you have paper around that you don't need or don't use, you can let it go. And watch for what you put on the floor, or piles of books, piles of paper, piles of magazines. Depression grows from the floor up. So if you're in the habit of piling things up and just letting them be, then take note of that and maybe clean up those, you know, those paper piles or those book piles. So focus on your entrance, having it open and clear, put your desk in a command position, minimize clutter. And also, you can apply the what we call the feng shui bagua to your space. This is the symbolic map of life issues. And one of the most important issues everybody always wants to know about of the sectors is the area that we call the wealth corner.
Mm-hmm.
So the wealth corner happens to be the furthest left corner from your entrance. And this goes for your office, so your workspace. It also goes for your house. It also goes for your land. So when I talk about the feng shui bagua, think of a tic-tac-toe board. So it's a grid of nine spaces. And the wealth space is the furthest back left corner. So tell me, in the space you're in, what's in that back left corner?
I have a plant, actually.
That is awesome. Because you know what? That must be great intuition on your part, because plants are one of the things that help to energize the wealth corner. So is your plant in good shape?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah? It's growing and it's vibrant?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings good energy in there. And the reason a plant is a good cure or adjustment for that back left corner, for the wealth corner, is because we also apply what we call the five elements to this. And so the five elements are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. So in feng shui, we're always working to balance our lives with nature. Just look to nature and look at what nature does. Nature is abundant. And so the wealth corner is also related to the wood element. And in nature, the wood element are the plants and the trees. So here you have a wood element right there. And it's about vibrancy and growth and life force. And so bringing plants and flowers into your wealth area is really good. You could bring something then in that reminds you of wealth. You know, it could be a treasure box with treasured items on. And you can also apply this feng shui bagua to your desk. So the back left corner of your desk from where you sit. And in mine, or on my desk, I happen to have a what I call it, a treasure box. It's an inlaid box that one of my brothers brought me from the Mideast years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gave it to me, it was a Christmas present, and it came with, of all things, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That is one of the coolest gifts I have ever received. It sits in the back left corner of my desk. So you can bring in things that remind you of wealth. You can also, in the wealth corner, a mirror is a good object to hang if it's reflecting something nice. Mirrors are of the element that we call water, and so it's reflective qualities. And so water feeds the trees. You know, the rains come and the plants grow. So water helps to strengthen wood. So anything that is reflective of water or wood elements or qualities are great in the wealth area, but only enhance this area if your space is in good shape to begin with. Because when you enhance something that's not in good shape,
right,
you get more of it. So so clean it up first before you enhance it, so that you are putting positive energy out there rather than replicating and enhancing negative energy. So that's a very important part of this. Is
interesting.
To have really good positive energizing chi meander through your space, not rush in, because that brings in a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. But you want energy to meander through your space.
Mm-hmm.
Having furniture with more curves and fewer sharp angles is another recommendation I would have. So to soften things up a bit. Pay attention to the colors. You know, use colors that you enjoy, that you like, that energize you. Also in your office, pay attention to what you have around the messages. Pay attention to the art that you have on the walls or the symbols. You know, what does it represent to you and what is it saying to you? Is it positive and uplifting? You know, affirmations. I have a pet peeve about license plates, vanity plates. Some of them are really good, but some of them are not so good. And I often think, gosh, if people only realized what they are carrying around with themselves all the time, you know, through their vanity plates or through bumper stickers. You know, you go through and you read bumper stickers, and I oftentimes say, oh my gosh, if people only realized the messages that they are replicating. Some of them might want to continue to do that, but if it's not a positive message, I recommend that you omit it, that you clean it up and get rid of it, and replace it with something that's inspiring, something that's uplifting, and something that's positive, because then those aspects will be reflected in your own life.
Very, very interesting. I do have a bonsai tree, a small one, a tabletop type bonsai tree, as well as I managed to get a little meditating Buddha, and I put it right underneath the bonsai tree.
It's on my desk.
Yeah, it's on my work desk. You know how, like, you sit on a rectangular table, right?
Yeah. So it's on your left side.
Left side and on the far left.
Yeah, in the center.
It's not right beside me, but it's an angle towards me.
Sure, the left. So that might be what we call the family area.
Oh, okay.
So that's about, in business, it's about your colleagues. In family, it's about your parents and your siblings. It's about where you came from. So giving strength and power to family relationships. In business, it's about the connections, that you make. And you're out there in the business of connecting people.
Oh, okay. So just leave it where it's at then.
that's a great spot for it. And having a plant in that area, that's really good. So it sounds like you have really good intuition, Johnny, that you're putting things where they make sense. Yeah.
Well, good.
That's awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
One of the questions I do want to ask you that, though, I mean, I love it. This is interesting. In the book, how do we sleep our way to more prosperity?
Okay. That's a great question. Well, sleep is really, really important. And when you're sleeping, your body is healing itself. And, optimal health will cultivates more prosperity. So you want to get a good night's sleep every night. You know, average might be between 7 and 10 hours. Try to get to bed, ideally between 10 and midnight. Because that's when your body is going into a and so you are more and stay away from get off the computer earlier than that, dim the lights earlier than that, begin to slow down. But getting a deep sleep and getting a good sleep every night helps you to optimize your health. When you're healthy, you're also likely to be more prosperous and more things are going to go your way. So living a healthy lifestyle is really important, and sleep is a huge part of that.
Wonderful.
You're likely to have fewer accidents when you get more sleep.
Yeah,
your
that's
brain
true.
Is more clear, when you get more sleep. You have a much more synchronicity in your life, and you have more energy. And again, this is all about the energy.
Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Where can someone go to buy Money is an Energy Game, get more information about you and Madeline, and keep up with y'all's latest happenings?
Go right to the book's website, moneyisanenergygame.com. So www.moneyisanenergy.com. Moneyisanenergygame.com. And if you're not sure if you want to read the book or not, if you sign up for the newsletter list, you can download the first chapter for free and start reading it and get a feel for what this is all about.
You definitely want to read the book, y'all.
Oh, thank you, Johnny.
And take your time, because this is not about storytelling. It is, and it's not, because it is about a process of immersion, and it's a process of immersing yourself into a new paradigm.
Oh, that is a great description. It is all about a new paradigm for well-being and for living a good life and living a happy life and a healthy life. Yep. And change takes time. Yeah, it really does.
What advice do you have for someone who is stuck in the past, aware of the present, but mildly enthusiastic about the future?
My advice is to find something to be happy about every day, and it can be a different thing every day. But decide that you are going to be happy or you're going to be joyful. If we're all human. You get down in the dumps, mm-hmm. Things happen. So have at three times as many positive experiences as negative ones. Or if you've been in a situation and, something has spun you around, then go out and have three times as many good conversations or good experiences. And there's some science behind this. Barbara Fredrickson has written about it in her book Positivity, and Malcolm Gladwell also spoke about it, that the 3-to-1 is the tipping point. So have three times as many good experiences every day as negative ones, and that will put you on a more positive path right there. And
fantastic.
Also suspend doubt. Just give it a try. That mm-hmm. maybe some of these concepts can be helpful, or maybe you'll find one that really works for you. That helps to pull you in and helps you to make a shift.
Sure.
Suspend your doubt.
Wonderful. By the way, as we close this hour, since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Is find something to be happy about every day. Yeah, and put a positive spin on your life. That's what I would do.
Wonderful. Peg, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, please join me in 2 weeks, Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. instead of 10, October 28th. My guest will be Deirdre Maloney. She's the founder of Highgate Racing, Canada's largest all-female competitive cycling team. Deirdre raises money for their youth development program and advocates for women in sports. She's also the co-founder of women's support group in her own community. Deirdre believes in sharing our stories to cultivate more collective healing. Deirdre and I will be having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and her recently released memoir, Unfold Me. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchenTalkRadio.com. Thank you for listening and have a very blessed week. Beck, it's been a true pleasure. Thank you again and have a very blessed day.
Thank you, Johnny. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.